For WMRA News, I'm Matt Bingay. Freezing temperatures damage fruit crops across Virginia. Virginia legislators are still working on a budget, and it may contain some surprises. And conservationists in Lexington have concerns about water quality impacts with a planned renovation of a private golf club in Lexington and Rockbridge County. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, May 5th. Freezing temperatures damaged vineyards across Virginia in April. Apple orchards and some berry crops were also affected. Roxy Todd reports the damage is more severe this year because trees and vines began budding weeks earlier than normal.
In the early morning of April 21st, wineries across Virginia recorded cold temperatures dipping into the low 20s. Adam Ferris runs Iron Heart Winery in Pulaski County in the New River Valley.
We encountered the worst frost event that I've seen in the 16 years of growing.
Ferris says nearly 100% of his first buds were killed by the freeze. The first buds produce the most fruit, so an early kill means there will be much less wine this year. A.J. Greeley is a winemaker at Hark Vineyard near Earliesville in central Virginia. They lost about 80% of their first buds.
We are seeing more and more severe weather events. It's a hard time for the Virginia wine industry.
Greeley is also president of the Virginia Vineyards Association, which has been assessing the damage to this year's freeze. They're still collecting and analyzing the reports, but say a majority of the vineyards they've heard from across the Commonwealth suffered. Frost in spring is not uncommon, but Greeley says in recent years, higher than average temperatures in early spring have caused grapevines to bud much earlier, making them more vulnerable to cold temperatures. In Pulaski County, I'm Roxy Todd.
Members of the Virginia General Assembly ended their legislative session without a budget, and leaders of the money committees have yet to hammer out an agreement. Michael Pope tells us that when a budget does emerge, it might have some surprises.
Legislating through the budget is a subject that members of the General Assembly love to hate. They often give speeches about how it's a bad idea, and then they do it anyway. Bill Leidy was chief of staff to Governors Mark Warner and Tim Kaine, and he says both parties use the budget to accomplish things they couldn't with legislation.
Well, I think most legislators agree that it's a bad idea to do it until they have something they want to put in the budget, because they know the budget vehicle has got to be passed by June 30th.
That deadline is fast approaching, and the brinksmanship could lead to a last-minute problem for Governor Abigail Spanberger. Either she agrees to a budget with a bunch of policies that she doesn't agree with or may have vetoed, or she risks throwing Virginia into an unprecedented budget crisis. Here's Stephen Hayner at the Jefferson Forum.
Once it's in a conference report, you cannot amend it. You have to accept it or reject it entirely. The game has become get your legislation, whether it's a tax bill or a regulatory bill or something dealing with Confederate statues. You can stick it in that conference report, and then you're pretty much going to get it because they aren't going to vote against the entire conference report and sink the budget.
So even if Spanberger vetoes legislation allowing for a marijuana marketplace or collective bargaining for public employees, those initiatives might end up happening anyway as part of a last-minute budget compromise. I'm Michael Pope.
Conservationists have concerns about the renovation of a private golf club in Lexington and Rockbridge County and how it could impact the health of local streams that provide drinking water and recreation. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
The 124-year-old Lexington Golf and Country Club, which straddles the city-county line, partnered with Washington and Lee University in recent years to rebrand as Tribrook Club, with plans to build new facilities and renovate the grounds. It's slated to reopen next year. With the renovation comes increased irrigation needs, and this is where the project has concerned local residents. About 65 to 70 acres of the golf course are currently irrigated. The club plans to install new irrigation on all 110 acres of the course. They applied for a permit with the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality to withdraw surface water from Woods Creek, which runs through the golf course, a man-made irrigation lake, and then continues out to the Maury River. Now, the golf course was already using water from the creek for irrigation, but DEQ documents say this is averaged out to about 17 million gallons of water per year. Under the new permit, they would be authorized to use more than 2.5 times that amount for the next 2 years, as newly planted grass gets established, and then will reduce the maximum draw to 30 million gallons a year after that.
Pretty much the entire course is being regraded and regrassed
Peter Danaher is the golf course superintendent.
Moving into the modern era of grassing, you know, stuff that's better for the environment, easier to maintain, a lot more sustainable, and really changing the look and the feel of the golf course.
Irina Kalos, communications manager for DEQ, told WMRA via email that the course's existing water intake was grandfathered in since it was in place before 1989, but they had to apply for this permit to construct a new water intake. DEQ staff wrote in the permitting documents that, quote, a loss of state waters shall occur. However, the impacts have been avoided and minimized to the greatest extent practicable. Some local residents are not convinced. The DEQ held a public hearing at Rockbridge County High School at the end of April. Jamie Gooden, the executive director of Rockbridge Conservation, said about 25 people spoke. Most of the comments centered on
the quantity of water.
Danaher acknowledged the annual withdrawal amounts are higher than the course has been using, but said the daily limit of 375,000 gallons a day is new. Another point of concern is that some of the DEQ's analysis relied on data from nearby Cars Creek, not the stream in question. Cars Creek has a U.S. Geological Survey water gauge on it, whereas Woods Creek uses one that is downstream of the golf course.
Folks are saying how the hydrological conditions of Woods Creek are very different from Cars Creek, so that data may not be particularly germane to Woods Creek.
The Maury provides drinking water for Lexington and part of the county, and is a popular waterway for recreation. The DEQ currently lists tributary Woods Creek as an impaired stream due to E. coli contamination and struggling benthic macroinvertebrate populations. There have also been concerns about the Maury's water quality in recent years, being impacted by the Boy Scouts of America's man-made Lake Merriweather.
We want to make sure that the increased annual withdrawals are well thought out and justified, especially given, you know, pending drought and climate stress scenarios.
According to data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, Rockbridge County has experienced increasingly frequent and severe drought in the last 5 years, compared to the 20 years prior. Extreme droughts have periodically plagued the county since 1895, when the agency's available data begins. The county is currently experiencing a level 2 severe drought out of 4 drought levels, and the agency forecasts dry conditions will persist in much of the Mid-Atlantic and Southern Appalachian region over the next 3 months. Kalos, with the DEQ, noted that under the permit, all minimum in-stream flow requirements must be met in order to withdraw water. Local residents are also concerned about the water quality of wells on site, which are used for irrigation and other purposes. Danaher, the golf course superintendent, addressed this.
We had all the waterways tested. It was a request of the county. We found that one of our wells on property, which is strictly used for washing carts, was contaminated with PFAS chemicals. And then another well, which is out on the golf course and used to refill or recharge the pond, I should say, was contaminated with lead.
He said the well with PFAS has been decommissioned and the one with lead is being remediated. I asked if they could purchase irrigation water from the local municipal utility.
Where we're located, in proximity Lexington, there's not really an infrastructure to be able to carry the amount of water that we would need onto the golf course.
He also noted they don't need treated potable water for irrigation. James Melvin, a representative of the golf club's board of managers, said they're working with environmental consultants on the project.
We want to be good stewards of the community as a whole. And so, sure, not everybody wants a golf course, but I think if the golf course is going to be here and continue to be building upon its history, which will be 125 years next year, the goal is to do it in the right way, to do it responsibly.
We support a solution that allows for a viable golf course while also protecting the long-term health of the watershed. Namely, we believe that there needs to be an updated hydrologic analysis.
The DEQ is accepting public comments on the permit until May 8th. They plan to issue a final permit decision in September. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
You'll also find links to more information at our website, WMRA.org, and the WMRA app. A Southwest Virginia musician is making waves among fans of a music genre known as Dungeon Synth. Radio IQ's Mason Adams spent some time with Foglord and has this story.
This is Spires of Starlight, a 2025 track by Foglord. Foglord is part of the underground dungeon synth music scene. Dungeon synth sounds a little like new age music, but it's spun out of black metal. Foglord is one of the scene's heavyweights. But while Foglord is known among dungeon synth fans around the world, the creative force behind it is from much closer to home.
So my name is Darian Dabbs. I'm from Woodlawn, Virginia.
Dabbs grew up immersed in music. His great-great-uncle is Sidney Myers, a clawhammer banjo player who was recorded by folklorists in the 20th century. This recording of Twin Sisters was made at a Carroll County general store in 1962. Another of Dabbs' great-great-uncles was known for playing and building dulcimers. But Dabbs first got interested in music through another genre.
Metal was my Kickstarter for it all. Like eighth grade, there was a metal band and I did vocals.
Dabbs eventually got into black metal, particularly a band called Summoning that used synthesizers to create a medieval aesthetic. That in turn led Dabbs to dungeon synth. He found a project called Depressive Silence and was so struck by it, he got the cover to one of its tapes tattooed on his leg.
It wasn't too long after I discovered it that I got into, you know, trying to experiment with making it. Back then, I really didn't know anything, and I just had an old MP3 player that, you know, could record. Didn't even have a mic. I just laid it on an old Yamaha keyboard at the speaker, and I recorded through that.
Dabbs released those demos in 2011, at age 13. His first album came 2 years later and was picked up by UK label Mirthram Records. By 2015, others in the scene started taking note and writing about Foglord, particularly how it incorporated Appalachian music. Mason Salamini is one of the organizers of Appalachian Dungeon Fest, a dungeon synth festival in Kentucky that will feature Foglord as one of its headliners.
Foglord's probably the most Appalachian-sounding project that's going to be playing there, incorporating a banjo and a bunch of other Appalachian elements. And his sound really, it ranges, man. It's anywhere from, like, ambient forest walk-type music to, like, melody-driven classic dungeon synth music.
Dabbs has played multiple festivals on the East Coast, and it's more than just listening to a concert. Fans play Magic the Gathering and sometimes make their own clothes or even chainmail for the occasion.
Yeah, everybody's really supportive. A lot of people dress up all kinds of ways for them and very fantasy-oriented style of dressing.
And in a full circle moment, Dabbs has picked up the clawhammer banjo and mountain dulcimer. He's seeking out older musicians to learn regional folk tunes and techniques. And he's increasingly wrapping those influences into Foglord's music.
I've incorporated mountain dulcimer into it and various other traditional folk instruments into it. A lot of it is rooted in the natural feelings of these mountains.
Foglord's next album, Celestial, is due in June. In Floyd, I'm Mason Adams.
And that does it for the WMRA Daily. I'm Matt Bingay. Have a great Tuesday.